Chapter 11. At lunchtime on Monday, Roiland called the Cottonwood Court nursing home. "You got a man there? His name is Ambrose Miller. I want to know if I can visit him, because he's my friend," Roiland said. "You can visit any time during the day," a woman with a pleasant voice said. "We go a long way back," Roiland explained. "Listen, I was thinking, could I take Mr. Miller out to lunch on the weekends and stuff like that? Because we like to go for cheeseburgers once in a while." "That would be fine. You can come any day you want. Our guests are always happy for outings. Just be sure to bring some identification with you. It's the rule. We have our own little trips for guests, but it means so much more if a friend or loved one comes," the woman said. For so many days and nights, Roiland had been haunted by the guilt of contributing to Mr. Miller's death. Now he had a second chance. He had feared the worst and come through with the help of one good friend, Cooper Hyden. Now Roiland felt strangely light, as if he could float from class to class and be friends with everybody if he wanted, even those who would not return the friendship. He could even forgive Corey Archer. At school that afternoon, Roiland was able to look at Corey Archer and smile and say, "How's it going?" Corey looked confused. She did not say a word. When Roiland ran into Steve, he smiled at him too, stuck his hand out, and said, "No hard feelings, right?" Steve stared at Roiland for a minute, as if he expected some trick. Then he held out his hand and said, "Right." "Sorry I lost it the other day," Roiland said. "I was going through a rough time." "Forget about it," Steve said. Immediately after school, Roiland drove up to Cottonwood Court. As he pulled into the parking lot, he saw little sign of life, but the grounds were green and neat. The quiet, tidy beauty reminded Roiland of a cemetery. Inside, the place was nothing luxurious, but it was clean and pleasant, with warm ivory walls and green linoleum. Many elderly people moved slowly in wheelchairs or walkers. The admitting nurse told Roiland that Mr. Miller had no guests since he arrived, except for the lawyer his daughter designated to handle his affairs. "Where's Mr. Miller now?" Roiland asked. Frail elderly people moved by with painful slowness. But that was not the saddest part of it. They seemed to be looking around for familiar faces, and there were none, except for the nurses. "He's in his room," the nurse said. "Our guests live two to a room. Mr. Miller does not like to mix with the other guests. He hasn't been to the activity room. Are you his grandson?" "I'm sort of that, yeah," Roiland said. Mr. Miller had two grandsons living back east. They were in some nice college somewhere. Mr. Miller had not seen them in years. Roiland passed the activity room where a young woman was reading a story. Nobody seemed to be listening. Most of the old people looked like they were sleeping. Two elderly men were playing cards, and one lady was knitting. And then Roiland saw Mr. Miller. There was a television set blaring in the room, but Mr. Miller wasn't watching it. He sat in a chair dozing, his chin resting on his chest. He was wearing the red and white sweater Roiland had given him.
"Hello, Mr. Miller,"
Roiland said softly, even though his heart was racing. Mr. Miller's head jerked up. He looked around in confusion.
"Is my daughter here?"
he asked.
"Is Jenny here?"
The nurse who was with Roiland said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Miller. Your daughter isn't here. But you have a visitor." Tears filled Roiland's eyes as Mr. Miller looked up and seemed to show no sign of recognition. Roiland dropped to his knees beside Mr. Miller's chair.
"It's me, Roiland,"
he said anxiously.
"Roiland?"
Mr. Miller said, his mouth twitching with the trace of a smile.
"Is that you, boy?"
He fumbled for his glasses and put them on.
"It is you. Where you been, boy?"
"I came as soon as I heard you were here, Mr. Miller," Roiland answered.
"I don't know why I'm here, Roiland. I was paying my rent. What did they bring me here for? It's like I done something wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong."
He looked all around the small room.
"I don't even know where I am."
"You're in Cottonwood Court. It's a nursing home. How is it living here, Mr. Miller?" Roiland asked.
"I don't rightly know. The food is okay, but it's like being in jail, Roiland. They talk to you like you're some fool kid. And my little cars are gone. I ain't seen my little car since I come here. Tuttle took them, but I'll try to get them back, Roiland said. Did Jenny come by? I didn't see her. Why don't she come, Roiland? She don't care if I live or die. I'm her father. I'm her father, boy.
Tears rolled down the old man's craggy face.
My God, a girl should give a care for her own father.
I'm sorry, Mr. Miller, Roiland said.
I won't never get out of here, will I, boy? This is like some waiting room in a funeral home. I won't never see the lights of the neighborhood again.
Maybe you will, Mr. Miller, said Roiland, turning to the nurse. I'd like to take Mr. Miller out for a drive. You can see it'll mean a lot to him. The nurse looked at Roiland's school ID and then said, This young man would like to take you out, Mr. Miller. Would you like to go out with him?
If I don't, I may go crazy, Mr. Miller mumbled.
Turning to Roiland, the nurse said softly, This may be just what he needs. He's been very depressed. If an outing will do him any good, it will be good news to the whole staff. Just be sure to bring him back by 7 o'clock.
Great, said Roiland. Come on, Mr. Miller, we can get out of here for a while.
Could we get some real food, boy? The food here is mushy. Lord, I got teeth yet. What'd I do for one of those cheeseburgers you and me used to have? You think we can get some of them?
Mr. Miller used a cane just in case he had a dizzy spell, but he could walk without any support. He walked beside Roiland out of the facility and into the parking lot. Roiland held the open door as Mr. Miller got into the Honda. They drove towards town.
My, look at all the folks walking around, Mr. Miller said. Busy, busy. I used to be like that. Wasn't enough time in the day to do all I had to do. Now I got nothing to do and plenty of time to do it. I used to carry the mail, you know. I told you that. Had my wife, my Amelia. Sweetest little woman a man ever had. My little girl, Jenny. She was Daddy's little girl. Used to run and throw her arms around me when I got home from work. I worked in the yard, have vegetables, fruit trees. It was a good life, Roiland. It seems only yesterday. I was such a lucky man.
They pulled into the hamburger drive-thru and ordered two jumbo cheeseburgers. Roiland thought about confessing to Mr. Miller that he had taken $250, but he figured that that would only hurt Mr. Miller. Instead, Roiland would pay him back, and more, in cheeseburgers and gifts. They would hang out together, and he would buy his old friend more warm cardigan sweaters and new toy cars. He would try to make Mr. Miller as happy as Mr. Miller had made him when he was a little boy. Once, Mr. Miller was his only ray of sunshine, and now he would be Mr. Miller's escape from the waiting room of the funeral home. After Roiland brought Mr. Miller back to Cottonwood Court, he went home and confronted Tuttle.
What did you do with Mr. Miller's little cars? Roiland demanded. He wants them back.
Tuttle looked frightened. He had all the little cars in the cartons waiting to be sold at the collector's show. Now he scurried to his room and brought the cartons, giving them all to Roiland.
Here's the cars. I didn't take none of them. What's an old man want with them anyway? Tuttle asked.
Roiland grabbed the cartons. We'd like to look at them together and remember the old days. And don't you call my friend an old man, Tuttle. And listen up. You get hot water going to the apartments, or I'm calling the health department. You hear me? After history class on Tuesday, a group of students, Hakeem, Darcy, Cooper, Tara, Brisana, and others, were talking in the hall about grades they were going to get on their reports. Roiland felt all of these students were winners. They each had something wonderful, like brains, personality, beauty, athletic skill, whatever. Roiland figured he had never had any of these things, so he always felt uncomfortable around such people. His usual response was to taunt others to make himself feel better. But now Roiland swallowed his nervousness and walked into the middle of the group. You guys, he said, listen up. I got a great idea.
A great idea, Roiland? Darcy asked. Does this mean you have someone new to torture?
No, no, Roiland said. I got this friend, Ambrose Miller. A really nice old guy.
and he's out at this nursing home. It's called Cottonwood Court. There are lots of old people there, and nobody much visits them, not even their families most of the time. I figure we can maybe go see them once in a while, bring cookies, stuff like that. There was a long silence until Brisana said, "Yeah, right. What a great idea. We could spend all our free time with a bunch of old people." She began to laugh at her own comment, but nobody joined in her laughter. "Sounds like a great idea to me," Cooper said. "I could play my guitar. It'll be fun," Hakeem said. "Instead of spending our time shoving pizza into our faces, we could do something really good. You guys, this is a really nice idea. Let's do it," Tara said. Roland looked around, surprised that his idea had gone over so well. Just weeks ago, he would have never believed that something he had to say would have been considered worthwhile. He was still Roland Bailey, C-minus student, mediocre football player with average looks, slouching shoulders, and the not-so-great personality. But the other kids were looking at him with respect now. On Saturday, about a dozen students from Bluford went to Cottonwood Court for an afternoon visit. Some of the usually listless old people clapped and sang when Hakeem played some older tunes on his guitar. Roland took Mr. Miller out afterwards for a drive through the neighborhood to see the sights he loved so much. "You're my best friend, Mr. Miller," he said, suddenly finding himself overcome with emotion. Mr. Miller smiled brightly, his eyes twinkling in the light. "You're my best friend too, boy. Always been. Always been." On Monday, Roland was eating lunch with Cooper and Tara when Corey came over. "Hi, Roland," she said, looking around nervously. "Can we talk?" "Sure," he replied. Slowly he stood up and they walked over to an empty table nearby. "Roland, I'm sorry about everything." "Stuff happens," Roland said. "I really do like you. I liked you from the first day. I mean, you must think I was nice to you just to get the necklace. But I liked you too," Corey said. Roland stopped walking and turned to Corey. He looked at her satin black hair, her lovely face, the dark eyes with the lashes that went on forever. She was still the most beautiful creature Roland had ever seen. "Steve's okay, but he's not as nice as you, Roland," Corey said. "He's so full of himself. You know what I mean?" Corey reached over and grabbed Roland's hand. Her warm, soft fingers wrapped around his. "Roland, I know Steve's a running back with the Buccaneers, but I like a person who's nice and sincere. I wish it could be like it was before, with you and me." "You're really something, Corey," Roland said. "I sure wanted to be with you. What guy wouldn't? We can go out together again, can't we? I mean, it's not working out with me and Steve." Roland looked right into Corey's eyes. A few weeks ago, he would have done anything to hear her say what she just said. But now Roland felt as if he was looking at a beautiful statue. Roland did not quite know why she wanted to come back to him. Maybe Steve did not want to buy Corey nice things. Maybe she liked Roland now because a lot of other people liked him better. Or maybe she was sincere, and something about Roland just attracted her. Today, Roland was willing to believe that was possible. Cooper Hyden's words came back to Roland. "I wouldn't take 6 Corey Archers for 1 Tara Carson. She got heart." Roland Bailey had gone through hell these past few weeks. The flames had singed his soul, but now he had come out on the other side. He did not hate himself anymore. He did not need to tear somebody else down to feel big. He did not need a pretty girl on his arm to feel good. "Corey, you're a beautiful girl," Roland said slowly. "But not for me. Not for me no more." Corey seemed shocked as Roland walked on alone. Roland was already thinking ahead. He would bring the little cars out to Cottonwood Court on Saturday morning, and he and Mr. Miller would look at them again. Then, go for burgers. On Sunday, Roland would hang out with Hakeem, Darcy, Cooper, and Tara, and some other kids he was getting to know. For the first time in his life, Roland Bailey believed he was on Earth for a purpose. For the first time in his life, it felt good to be Roland Bailey.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluefoot series of books, Secrets in the Shadows, by Paul Langan and read by James Costin. This audiobook was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.